Good evening, friends. This is your Congressman Charles C. Diggs, Jr., happy to be joining you once again through the courtesy of the House of Diggs. For 18 years now, we have been privileged to make these weekly visits through the cooperation of Michigan's leading funeral home and its three conveniently located chapels, the House of Diggs Boulevard Chapel at 1201 East Grand Boulevard, just north of the Gratiot East Warren intersection, the House of Diggs Northwest Chapel at 12521 Dexter at Fullerton, and in the suburban Downriver area, the House of Diggs Southwest Chapel at 1939 South Fort near Schaefer Road. Our musical director is Ruby Childers. Tonight we will have as our guests Dr. Andrew F. Brimmer, who is Deputy Assistant Secretary for Economic Affairs in the United States Department of Commerce. Dr. Brimmer holds a PhD from Harvard University, is one of the bright images on the new frontier, and is one of us. We will be talking with Dr. Brimmer about some of the economic problems facing Negroes, especially Negroes in business, in just a few minutes. We're delighted to have as our guest today Dr. Andrew F. Brimmer. Dr. Brimmer is Deputy Assistant Secretary for Economic Affairs in the United States Department of Commerce, a post which he has held since May of last year. He formerly was a professor of finance at the Wharton School of Finance and Commerce, University of Pennsylvania. He is a Louisianian, born in 1926. He received his bachelor and master's degrees from the University of Washington and his Ph.D. from Harvard University in the field of economics. He has certainly been the recipient of many honors because of his broad knowledge of economic matters, and we are certainly delighted that he's our guest today. Well, Dr. Brimmer, we are particularly delighted to have you with us. You're one of the real bright spots on the new frontier horizon, and we are especially proud of the fact that you happen to be one of us and a person who obviously is just beginning a most interesting career. Because of the concentration of recent days on the civil rights question, the economic rights of Negroes perhaps has become a little obscure. And there was a release which came out of the Department of Commerce recently announcing that the Department of Commerce is expanding its efforts to open up more employment and business opportunities for Negroes, particularly in private business and industry in the United States. This was quite a historic change of policy and emphasis, but it became, as I observe it, sort of lost in the morass of other news stories. This is a policy which will involve the Undersecretary of Commerce, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Jr., as chairman. It will have on this task force staff yourself and several other high-ranking members of the Commerce Department. I guess our first question would be this. Why did the Secretary of Commerce and the administration elect to make this rather daring move to help in the area of employment and business opportunities for Negroes?
Before I answer that question, Mr. Congressman, let me thank you for giving me the opportunity to join you on this program and to talk at least vicariously with some of the people in Michigan. As you may know, I taught at Michigan State for 3 years and got to know something about the Michigan economy and about the very interesting contribution you yourself are making to settle some of the very questions you've already mentioned yourself. The Department of Commerce emphasized that it wanted to expand its activities in the field of equal opportunity. Now, because the Commerce Department is the home of business in government, we thought that this accumulation of resources designed to help the business community should help all businessmen, not simply those who are in the big corporations, but small businessmen as well. Not simply those who've always had a chance to participate in the mainstream of economic activity, but those who haven't had such chances. Now, there were several ways we could have done this. And I emphasize that this awareness has been in the Commerce Department for some time. In fact, I was told that the Commerce Department had, at one time, a section which dealt with, quote, Negro business, unquote. I put that in quotation marks because the record seems to show that very little was done. They had a few people who would accumulate a few statistics, shake the hands of a few Negro businessmen who would wander into the Commerce Department. Once a year, the Secretary of Commerce would invite them in for a dinner, say hello to them, and goodbye. Now, that happened years ago. Soon after this administration came in, as you yourself know, there was a national conference on small business, partly sponsored by Commerce, which took place in 1961.
I remember it very well because I was chairman of that conference.
Now, of course. And that conference pointed up some very interesting problems, but at the same time, little or no machinery was created to help follow through on many of the recommendations. Thus, the issues are still there, the problems are still there, the commerce resources are still there, but these have not been brought together as efficiently as we think they should be. Now, we have been under some, I hate to call it pressure, but people have suggested that Commerce should reinstitute this old, quote, Negro business section. Mm-hmm. We have been resisting that. We think that is a legacy which is long past as far as commerce is concerned, and we should make no effort to revive it. This task force, as you said, consists of high-ranking officers in the Commerce Department. And you noticed from the press release, although you couldn't tell from just the names, of course, I am the only Negro officer on that, partly because I'm the only one in the Commerce Department. But the other people on this task force are people with operating responsibilities or policy responsibilities. We wanted to put this up at the highest level in the department to advise the Secretary of Commerce. We have staff people from various parts of the department, and they will follow through to make the resources of the Commerce Department, its advisory resources, its resources in the form of technical assistance, and we have some of these available to Negro businessmen. We're working very closely with the Small Business Administration, which can make loans to businessmen. There are several things we would like to do. One, of course, is to tie this effort closely in with the war on poverty, which the president announced in his State of the Union message. While concentrating on poor people and trying to provide some means for them to escape the conditions of poverty, when we cast such a net, we automatically collect a substantial number of Negroes who happen to represent somewhat under 10% of the total families in the country, but over one-fifth or twice the proportion of poor families. And we feel this is a matter which requires the commitment of all of the government's effort in this area, including the Commerce Department. So this seemed an appropriate time to get our machinery into better working order so that we too can help make some contribution in this area. Now let me mention very briefly what we are doing, and not what we plan to do. because I think we've had enough talk. We now need some action.
Right.
In the Commerce Department, the agency which is best suited to help Negro businessmen, who are small businessmen, is the Area Redevelopment Administration. As you know, ARA has loan and grant facilities. It has technical assistance money. And if Negro businesses are in communities which have drawn up overall economic development plans, as required by ARA's operating under Secretary's instructions, Secretary of Commerce instruction, Negro businessmen are eligible for loans. And they should realize this and apply to their regional ARA offices.
What are the requirements for these loans?
The requirements are rather complicated, and I wouldn't want to go into them because I might tell you something which the loan officer would contradict. And then you would say one of us is not telling you the truth.
Just the general guidelines.
The general guidelines for these loans is that it must be a business employing a relatively small number of people. It must be designed to help create new jobs. And it must be in an area which is classified as having high unemployment rates.
That would be Detroit, of course.
Detroit is definitely one of the areas. And at one time, there was a chance that Detroit would lose its eligibility. Fortunately, late last year, the Secretary of Commerce designated several cities, including Detroit, as eligible for these loans, and so this opportunity continues. And you should contact the Detroit people who know about these. If they cannot help you, write to us in Washington, the Area Redevelopment Administration, and they would be glad to answer questions. I should say that ARA has two Negroes on their staff, one in Washington and one in the Southeast region, who devote their entire time to looking for opportunities to help Negro businessmen.
I'm not aware that too many Negro businessmen have taken advantage of these programs. This is a very frustrating thing to me, and I'm certain to the Department of Commerce. That's the reason they've apparently sort of taken the bull by the horns here in an effort to really almost force Negroes into the program. Why this reluctance on the part of Negro business people to take advantage of these
programs?
Well,
let us admit that the communication problem has been tremendous here. In the past, if a general program was announced because of the historical experience of exclusion, the average Negro would just assume it doesn't include him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this kind of psychology has to be destroyed. These programs do include Negroes. Another reason, I believe, Negroes have not been aware of these as fully as they should have been is that the typical local arrangement for managing these programs has not included Negroes and the staffs or in advisory positions or other ways to bring them closely into contact with the Negro community. We are trying to overcome this. This is among other reasons why I was very glad that you asked me to come to talk to you about with you about this, because I too would like to help break down this communications barrier. Now, the one example of what I have in mind is found in Philadelphia. Now, ARA has technical assistance money. The area need not be classified as a depressed area or an area of high labor surplus. ARA, under the technical assistance part of its program, can give money or grants or other kinds of assistance to projects designed to help increase the technical competence of businessmen in a particular area. This we have done in Philadelphia.
Isn't there a pilot project in Philadelphia now?
Exactly.
A very dramatic example of the desire of the Department of Commerce to do something specific about the problems of Negro business. Would you just take a moment to describe this program and indicate if it is successful, whether or not Detroit, for instance, might be the recipient of this kind of treatment?
Yes, I'd like very much to do that. The initiative for this program, and its title is the Small Business Opportunities Corporation. I would like to emphasize that because it's a going concern, a nonprofit corporation launched by Drexel Institute, which is a technical college in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Fellowship Commission, and the City of Philadelphia. They looked about the community under the fellowship's sponsorship and decided that we ought to do something to help improve business opportunities in the community. It so happened that in the area in which they were concerned, most of them were Negroes. They decided to have Drexel do research and technical advisory services. The fellowship commission would put together a board of directors and lead the campaign to get some money. Among other things, they came to the Area Redevelopment Administration and Department of Commerce and said, does this fit your technical assistance requirement? After some exploratory work on which George Robinson worked, who is the Negro member of the administrative staff who specializes in this, went to Philadelphia and looked at it and said, this seems promising. We drew up a contract which required the corporation to put up some matching funds, and these are not free. You have to make some effort yourself. They made some effort, but they didn't get all the money they wished. The foundation they thought would give them some support found it couldn't do it. They came to Commerce, and I was asked to look at the contract to see if we could do anything about it. We did. We were successful in renegotiating the contract. The Commerce Department asked the Small Business Administration to monitor the program. And under the leadership of Mr. Eugene Foley, the administrator, who took a sympathetic view of this, it is now possible for Negro businessmen, small businessmen, to get loans under conditions which they normally wouldn't have gotten. They will be able to expand their operations, and they will be able to do so because the ARA put up $100,000, a grant to the Small Business Opportunities Corporation to help them get started during the first year. They will screen applicants and try to advise them in the form of a sort of management consulting arrangement, pointing out the techniques which have been successful in other places, trying to help businessmen avoid the pitfalls. I look upon this as a useful experience, and I emphasize the experiment because it's just getting underway. But so far, the results seem to indicate that it might be successful, and a city like Detroit might want to try it if it can pull together the elements. Notice, an academic institution, city support, and above all, community support. I think it would be quite feasible for a city like Detroit.
Are there any other programs that would be helpful to Negroes in business, which we have not mentioned in our discussion, which, according to your observation, Negroes should know more about and should take advantage of?
Let me mention one, and that is the franchise arrangement. Now, a franchise is basically, and I don't want to get technical on this, a contract where a big company would look for small people. So, for example, many restaurant chains are run by a franchise on the basis of a franchise. Many of the automobile distributorships are franchises. And in Detroit, I understand, you've just had a Negro who acquired an automobile franchise from one of the major automobile companies.
Ed Davis acquired a Chrysler dealership. He's located out on Dexter. That's correct.
That's right. Now, we were excited by this. We think there should be more of these. It is our understanding that there are quite a few other companies, specialists, tire manufacturers and distributors, gasoline distributors, household appliance distributors, who are anxious to sign Negroes to franchises, provide them with technical guidance, some capital, and
in
show
many cases, almost 100% capital. Is that not correct?
In many cases, it's almost 100% capital. My own feeling is, and we have a man who's doing some exploration in this area for us, is that the main thing now is to bring the companies together who want to offer the franchises and Negro businessmen who want to take advantage of them. And we are on the lookout. And when we get some more information on this, we'd be glad to make it available. But this is one area I would like to emphasize, which on the surface appears to be quite promising.
Now, day before yesterday, Friday, you addressed the National Negro Newspaper Publishers Association here in Washington, and I'm certain that you had an interesting experience with this very distinguished group. Could you conclude our discussion by giving us some idea of what you told the newspaper publishers, who in turn will be communicating with the people in Detroit and Negroes across the country?
Gladly. I told them that the forthcoming attack on poverty, a war on poverty, as the president called, is a war in which Negroes are vitally interested. It is a campaign in which we're trying to not, quote, do something for Negroes and others, but in which we're trying to help them help themselves. You see, there are two views of how to deal with poverty. One, you can, quote, take care of the poor, welfare, and so on. Another one, you can try to help them escape from poverty. And this was the main thrust of what I told them. I also emphasized that it would be vitally necessary for Negro leadership, along with other leadership in local communities, to acquaint themselves with this program when it is announced and the president will send up a special message on it. It would be vitally to their interest to get involved in it, to help advise and construct the local community action programs, because this money will not simply be set down from Washington. There's very little money involved. There's some money, but the main thrust is to get the local community to mobilize its resources, to plan ahead, and to undertake systematic programs to help rescue the poor people. And I think on the newspaper editors and publishers, the community leaders must take a critical part in this program. That was the burden of what I told them. I had a lot of statistics, but I won't burden you with those.
Well, you certainly have played a critical part in the whole complex of the jurisdiction of the Commerce Department, and we certainly are delighted to know that you're there looking out for our interests along with the interests of the total community. We've had the pleasure of having a discussion with Dr. Andrew Brimmer, who is Deputy Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Affairs. And now, my friends, we must bring our visit with you to a close. Until next Sunday night at 9 o'clock, this is your Congressman, Charles C. Diggs, Jr., thanking you for listening and saying, let's work and win together this year. If we think together and act together, we can accomplish much more in 64. Be sure that you are eligible to vote.